This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yo, what up? Hour number two here on this Friday. Tiki and Tierney cooking. Good stuff so far. Coming from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. All right, so here's the deal. Let's get you up to speed. We're supposed to have Gary Payton last hour, GP's people, because, of course, when you're GP, you got people. His people called our people. We have people, too. Not as many people as GP, but we have a few people. And we pushed it back to next segment, which would be great. He got hung up a little bit. Something ran late. So we've got Gary Payton coming up next segment, which I can't wait to talk to one of the best defensive guards of all time. I mean, Gary Payton could score, too, and he could dish. He was just a great player. He's a Hall of Famer. There were some other really good defensive guards. Like, before him, Alvin Robertson for the Spurs was really good. Mo Cheeks had some quick hands, but GP was physical. He had the anticipatory skill. He had length. He had long arms, even though he was, quote-unquote, only 6'3". And, boy, nobody talks smack like that guy. And I would love to, and I can't wait to ask him, you know, how would he defend somebody like Doncic? The modern game, he would figure it out because he's got that type of physical prowess and that adaptability to his game. Like if Gary was coming up now, then he would have he'd figure it out. He'd be the best defensive guard in the NBA now. But you know some of these guards like Trae Young and chasing Steph Curry off screens. How would he handle James Harden, who's bigger? We'll get that coming up. Hour two, as well. This hour we got Will Middlebrooks. And I just saw something on Twitter. Shohei Ohtani, who hit a 465 home run yesterday, that basically went on the highway. He's on the hill today, and he just dropped a nasty 95 mile per hour splitty. So if you're wondering, you know, I know it's early in spring training still somewhat, but Ohtani hit a bomb, and he's on the mound. You know, for those who may have forgotten his road to recovery, he's still doing that. We'll do a lot of baseball stuff with Will. Third hour, Rondale Moore. Purdue wide receiver getting ready for the draft. Could go first round. Very probably will. So with that being said, we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds. Then we'll get to the glove. Inbounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go, BT.
Hold on a second. How you feeling? You up for the challenge? You feeling good? You feel lucid? Everything connected? The brain, the mouth, we good?
Well, as always, I always feel good. Whether that contributes to a good performance, we'll see.
Let's see if it translates. I've got confidence that it will. Go ahead, buddy.
All right, here we go, BT. We discussed some potential rule changes in the NFL yesterday, but one we didn't get to is a proposed change to overtime. The Ravens propose an idea centered around spot and choose, where the coin toss winning team gets to choose the spot of the ball to start overtime, and the other team gets to choose offense or defense. Many teams seem to like this idea, though the debate now centers on whether to make overtime sudden death or allow both teams to have possession.
Mm-hmm.
So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, you do like this spot and choose proposal.
Out of bounds. This just feels goofy. Doesn't this feel goofy? So if I have this right, I know they need to determine whether or not it would be sudden death, and that's obviously a huge component of it. And that, you know, depending upon which way they go, that will either have, I mean, some detractors will speak up and some people will love it. So you might, that might be split. They've got to resolve that. But if I have this right, I mean, I could slap the ball down like at the 19. Like it doesn't have to be at the traditional 20 or 25 or 30. Like I could just say, all right, I'm going to, I don't know, I'm going to throw the ball at the 9-yard line and you're on offense. I mean, is that really it? That is a weird, weird thought to implement. That's goofy. You know, save that for Johnny Manziel's league where you can call in and tell him on Twitch what play to run. Save it for, you know, the XFL 3.0 whenever that resurfaces, because you know that it will. I don't want to see this in the NFL. This is moronic to me. You know, this is like, even though I kind of back the notion of baseball experimenting when you get to a certain point, man on second, and put them on there because you just want to avoid taxing bullpens and playing 6-7 hour games. And that's a little goofy, and I actually back that up. So maybe I'm a little inconsistent, but this just seems wildly unnecessary, out of bounds. But do you like this, by the way?
I mean, it's different. I mean, if the first team says, you know, we're going at the 1-yard line, the other team can then say defense. So, I mean, it adds a different element to it. I mean, it is out there.
Well, you'd have to be, the only person that would say that would be Adam Gase, would say he would win. He'd say, we're going to go on the 1-yard line, and then the opponent would then flip it and put Adam Gase in the worst situation. Like, you would never put it that close to the goal line because it could be flipped on you, clearly. Somebody that has really let this marinate for a long time, and I've read it, but there's not a lot of meat, not a lot of substance to this. I've really tried to do some digging. It's really just a lot of theories. If I get some more real intel, maybe I change my mind. But right now, I want no part of that. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, BT, as you touched on last segment, NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend. Now, team captains LeBron and Kevin Durant selected their rosters last night. LeBron grabbed Giannis with the number one pick, while KD took his buddy and teammate Kyrie first.
Who else did LeBron? LeBron got Doncic. He got the Joker. Think about LeBron's thought process. All good passers. All guys that could pass. Anyway, keep going.
I mean, Team LeBron is stacked.
I'm probably going to put some money on Team LeBron. I've got to see the spread, but I'll probably throw a few bucks on that.
Now, the last two players selected overall, both Jazz stars Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
No respect.
Despite the fact that Utah has the best record in the NBA, and LeBron explained why he thought Utah players were selected last.
I just want to say something, because there's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, the Utah Jazz will never be perennial contenders because of where they play and the perception of the franchise.
First of all, it's out of bounds, but I don't understand that thinking there. I mean, I'm sure he's having fun. I'm sure he had a little wine, but what does that have to do with now? All right, and I get it. You didn't want to run the pick and roll with John Stockton wearing the tight underwear. I wouldn't do it either. But John Stockton's not on the Utah Jazz right now. Spider Mitchell is, and the defending DPO, and well, a guy who's got multiple Defensive Player of the Year awards in Rudy Gobert, and right now is the favorite along with Embiid to get another one. I don't understand. I don't understand his reasoning. Now, if he just said, this is how I see it, I'd say that's fine. You're the coach, and you pick the roster, or you're the captain, you pick the roster, that's fine. But to reference the video game, that has literally zero connection to that iteration of Utah Jazz players to this duo. So that made no sense to me. My answer is out of bounds, as I said. They can be a perennial contender. They're a contender right now, first of all. The problem with Utah, all right, they've got to get lucky in the draft. And they got lucky with, you know, certainly, well, not lucky, because they identified Stockton coming out of Gonzaga. They identified Karl Malone. They weren't first overall picks. It wasn't like, oh, we have to take this guy. It's Hakeem Olajuwon or whomever, or Patrick Ewing, or David Robinson, or Shaq. It's like, no, we really like this guy. And they were both right. They were right on both. But their problem is going to be sustainability, because even if they get to the NBA Finals and lose, or even if they win, you know, eventually the way you keep adding to that is to have a free agent join you, a prominent free agent. Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors. We know what happened with the Miami Heat. We know what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets right now. They very well might win. The only real contender, if I have this right, or contenders, that are organic would be Philly, if you still consider Denver a contender, very debatable based on how they played this year. They're organic. The Mavericks are playing better, but they're a year away. Plus, they traded for KP. There's very few organic teams, and there's no free agent, I don't think, unless he's from Utah and down the road, that's going to say, I'm taking max money to go play with the Utah Jazz. It's just not the kind of and I love the state of Utah. I told you, I was there all summer filming Man vs. Bear for Discovery Channel. Beautiful terrain. Gorgeous state. And is it me? I feel like more than ever, a lot of teams have, I know there's multiple uniforms, but I feel like every time I watch Denver, every time I watch Utah, not only does Utah have different uniforms, but they have like different logos on the court. Like there's so many uniforms and contrasting logos and color schemes. It's crazy. And that's not bad. There's just a lot. All right, GP, I got nothing but glove for you. Gary Payton going to join me next. So how would he defend some of these great young guards? How would he handle the stars of the modern NBA? You know he'd find a way to lock him up if the refs actually let him play defense. But how would he attack these stars? We all know the names. We'll talk about that next with GP right here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, March Madness right around the corner. This weekend, CBS has two full triple headers. Two full days of triple headers. We've got the action tomorrow, noon Eastern. That'll be sweet. 9 Pacific, it begins with a battle inside the Big 12 between Texas and Texas Tech. So that'll be pretty sweet. Then on Sunday, you got three more games capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten showdown, Iowa. And their big stud, Mr. Garza, battle the Buckeyes of Ohio State. That is six college hoops games this weekend coming up beginning tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So we'll get with Will Middlebrooks from CBS Sports HQ coming up next segment. Looking forward to that. You know, I'll get a little bit Trevor Bauer, some of the player movement that I've referenced, whether it's Lindor, whether it's Arenado. And we're going to get, hopefully, I can only control what I can control. We're supposed to get Gary Payton here this segment. Hopefully it works out with the glove. I really want to talk to him. But I'll tell you, I just spent about 2 or 3 minutes during this break really doing a deeper dive into Ohtani, all right? And it's fascinating to watch him try to straddle this line here. First of all, it's unforgivable. Let me transfer over to Trout for a moment. It's unforgivable. Now, I know that they tried, you can't hold a gun to somebody and say sign. They either sign the contract or they don't. I understand that. But for Mike Trout to be this deep into his career with a franchise with the pockets that are as deep as the Angels, Artie Moreno's got, he's got money. You know, it's criminal in the sporting sense for the Angels to take the field rotation-wise what they're going to take the field with rotation-wise this year. They're not going to the playoffs, you know? Yeah, and they try, you know, they get Rendon. They've made some other moves with the outfield. I like some of their moves here, and I don't think the division's overly powerful, but I don't know how you win without pitching, which brings me – you don't really is the answer. I asked that rhetorically, which brings me back to Ohtani. Now, he's not quite 100 miles per hour on the radar. And yesterday, this is what I find so – as a real baseball guy, so much fun to watch. He hits one 463 over the batter's eye, and now he's on the mound today, and he's throwing cheese, 98. You know, the splitter was 94 and had – just find it. There's video of it all over social media. Sick movement on the slider. Man, if he's ever able to navigate that and make, say, 20-something starts and get 500-plus ABs – it would be such a spectacle. I just have my doubts. I think it's really hard to, number one, stay healthy, but also to be elite at both, because the bullpen sessions are compromised or the hitting sessions are compromised. But we'll get into that a little bit more deeper with Will Middlebrooks next, baseball, CBS Sports HQ. I believe we've got the glove. D-cell, is that what I heard? Oh, that's music to my ears. I want to talk to Gary Payton, Hall of Famer, awesome defender, great scorer, great personality, great trash talker. The guy was just an absolute trip to watch. And, you know, if you walk out to midcourt and you're a guard and you know that Gary Payton's guarding you for 40-plus minutes, you are in for a night of hell. GP, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Yeah, they're just going to start in a second here.
Okay. All right, we're ready. Where's GP? We ready? Maybe we will do it another day. That's really unfortunate because they got, first of all, his personality is phenomenal. I did a couple of shows with Gary back in the day in San Francisco, and we were all terrorized or terrified that he was going to curse, because you get around Gary Payton, you know, the real GP is as real as it gets, but they're obviously juggling a lot, so I'm not going to try to go back to that here. If we can make it work on Monday or Tuesday, that would be awesome. Mike, if you want to get with their PR people and they want to have this actually lined up when they say, that would be great, but I can't keep juggling this. All right, so I'll get back to baseball here. I don't know how, just no other sport do you have to deal with this. Like, all right, Steph Curry, prolific, best shooter of all time, right? But Steph Curry, within his workout and his preparation as a shooter, as an elite marksman of the game, you know, he can still work on his handle, could still work on his defense. Not the defense is number one for Steph, but you know what I mean. You can incorporate the other aspects of the game, which are all intertwined within the game. And that applies to a big, you know, Joel Embiid could get his work in from behind the arc. He could get his footwork down in the post. Him and, you know, Joker and some other really good passers, big men, they can, you know, negotiate that foul line extended. They can work on cuts and passing. Like, you could do all this and still refine every aspect of your game without diluting another aspect because the way the game's played. Same with hockey, same with a skill guy in football. But for a baseball player to try to take the mound, you know, every 5 days, maybe they build in some extra days rest. Maybe it's every 6 days. Again, maybe they truncate what the expectations are. So instead of 32, 33 starts in a given year for a top of the rotation guy, as I said before, maybe Ohtani gets 20 or so, maybe more. Maybe I'm misreading that entirely. But it's baffling to me to be able to juggle that. And I just don't know how you do it from a skill point of view. And I don't know how you do it without getting incredibly fatigued. You know, it's a mental dance that's hard to verbalize because it's so rare. I mean, there's a reason why you never see it. You'll see it in college. Jameis Winston did this. Jameis Winston was a pitcher. I remember Teague and I saw the video of Jameis hitting a triple for Florida State that was on social media years ago. And we were kind of goofing him because he was tripping around where he looked like he was on skates rather than second base. Wasn't exactly fleet of foot around the bases. Other guys did it. Todd Helton did this. Was a quarterback. Was a baseball player, obviously. Brooks Kieschnick, I believe, pitched and hit for the Cubbies and obviously in college. You know, if you tell me you're a closer, I feel like that would be a little bit easier. I just don't know how. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't try it. This is not me knocking the Angels' efforts to try this. Although after reconstructive surgery, you can make the case that it might be time to focus on one of the two. But at least if you're a closer, right, and you're coming in, you know, two or three times a week, but you're only coming in for, you know, theoretically 17, 18, 19 pitches max. You know, you're up two, you're up three, ninth inning, slam the door, boom, get some ice on the shoulder, you're good. How do you throw, and I know they'll have the pitch limits, even the healthy guys have one, of course he's going to have one. How do you throw, I would think he'll start, like, I'm going to guess his first, depending upon the weather. I don't know where the Angels open up. If they open up in the Northeast or somewhere where it's windy and wet, like if they're up in Seattle and it's well, they got the roof. But if it's in a dank atmosphere, you got to be careful. But let's say it's decent conditions and Ohtani's first start is, I would say that the target would be 70 pitches, shower. And then maybe you bump it up 75, 80 with a threshold of about 100. You know, think about when you played Little League. You didn't have to be great, but just think about the soreness. Like, I remember, because I pitched a lot and I played a lot of shortstop when I was young, and then I outgrew shortstop, as I always tell Tiki. I was too slow. But when I was young, I could play the position well. And I was the starting pitcher on the team. And I was, back then, there was no rules in Little League. I mean, just, your arm hurts, whatever. I mean, you just suck it up. I wouldn't even tell the coach my arm hurt. And you go from shortstop, which is, for me, kind of a sidearm throw, never really throw over the top, you know, kind of flipped it. And then on the mound, it's a much more elongated release. And, you know, in school, I'm talking like fifth, sixth, seventh grade, the side, the labrum, not that I thought I was hurt, but the soreness, to then go in the batter's box the next day and try to catch up with, 98-mile-per-hour cheese, you know, darting sliders. It is. I am very, very interested to see this happen. And I have my doubts that it will be a success long-term. You might see pockets and sporadic success. I don't think in 2 years when we're talking about Ohtani, I think it'll be more as an everyday position player. I don't think he'll be doing this juggle, this dance for years, plural. I hope so. Because think about how good it would be for baseball. You know, then, like, if this actually works, and we've talked a lot about this with baseball, where the games become so much quicker and the athletes around the field, it's so obvious where, you know, somebody like Tatis, I mean, the energy, the electricity in the middle of the diamond is just, it's undeniable. It's just palpable. It's intoxicating to young eyes. Let's face it. Impressionable young eyes. And, you know, pretty much everybody starts out. You play T-ball, you play Little League Baseball, and then you gravitate to what really excites you, or you just gravitate to what you're best at. And sometimes those intersect, sometimes they don't. But the challenge the last, I'd say the last 20-ish, 25 years, maybe even a little bit more, maybe, for baseball, has been convincing the athletes to stick around and stay and play baseball, right? And the other thing, and this is a different part of the conversation, I don't want to get into the weeds here, the thing that dissuades some players is that, you know, if they're really, truly elite and they view baseball and they view pro sports as a vehicle for employment, which applies to less than 1% of the population, but does apply to hundreds of kids every year. You know, the trek through the minors, while it's been much more accelerated, and now you have teams buying players out and guys get paid early, so it's different economically, and that's a different incentive, which is good. But for a long time, it was like, all right, even as first round pick, I get drafted. Maybe I go to the Arizona Fall League with the elite prospects. Maybe I don't start in low. I go right to high A if my team even has two A's, right? I go to high A. I get a couple of hundred ABs in double A. I do well. I start the next season at double A. Then I go to triple A. And it's like 3, 4, 5 years, you know, outside of that outlier, that impossible to ignore superstar, right? But that has been a deterrent for a lot of players. That's changing. Now if somebody like Ohtani begins to prove that, oh, I can pitch and I can hit and I can play the outfield and pitch a couple times in the same week, well, it just opens up the door for more athletes, more prospects, and baseball, of course, is rooting for Ohtani. I'm rooting for Ohtani. The difference is that the Angels are the ones who will have to deal with the negative repercussions if, God forbid, something happens again to his arm. So they are navigating something that is once in a generation. But I'm watching these videos on Twitter during the break, and he's pumping almost triple digits. So the velocity's back. The velo is there. And he's snapping off these sliders and these splitties. There was one splitty that started at the middle of the plate, literally started at the middle of the plate, darted downward, obviously. The downward, you know, that's what the splitty action is going to do. And then it cut in almost like a hard slider. Like it was filthy. There's nobody that's hitting that. We'll see. It's going to be a lot of fun. He's one of the stories. There's a lot of stories out there. We'll get into all of them coming up next with Will Middlebrooks, CBS Sports HQ baseball analyst, world champion from the Red Sox. We'll do that after ACK and ACK's update right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney minus Tiki today. PT going solo, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Next hour, Rondale Moore from Purdue. He is a burner, and he's a banger, too. Squats 600 pounds. He flies, but he's a little injury prone. Only played 7 games the past couple of years. So I want to get to know the young man a little bit, and he will join me coming up at 5:20 Eastern, 2:20 Pacific. A lot of people think he's going to go certainly late first round. They'd be very surprised if he slips into round two, is what I'm saying. So we'll get with him. It stinks that the Gary Payton stuff didn't work out. I really wanted to talk with Gary, but it is what it is. But we will now talk to somebody else that I'm looking forward to talking to. I think he's carving out a nice start to this broadcasting career. He's a major league champion for the Red Sox back in 2013. He's part of the CBS team, CBS Sports HQ. Will Middlebrooks, pretty good on Twitter as well. What up, Will?
What's What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. You know, I want to get to Lindor and Bauer and even Tatis's deal. But I'll tell you what, you need to weigh in on this because I was watching. First of all, I saw the home run Ohtani hit yesterday, which was insane. And I'm watching clips today. He's hitting almost triple digits with the fastball.
Tell me you saw the splitter.
I was going there. I saw the
Oh my God, dude.
How sick. No, but nobody. No, Wade Boggs is not hitting that. Tony Gwynn, may you rest in peace. No, exactly. No one's hitting that. It was filth that it was 94 miles an hour. I mean, it would be so good for the sport if this actually works. But can you tell my audience, like behind this, we see you dig in four at-bats. The preparation, watching film, hitting off the tee, working with your coach, just to get ready to play a game as a hitter, what is required? And then trying to do the same as a pitcher simultaneously.
Yeah, both of them are full, and at the professional level, are full-time 24/7 jobs. So the fact that, I mean, you have to be ungodly talented, number one. We had Justin Upton on podcast, the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. And he told us, Ohtani is the most talented baseball player he's ever seen. All right,
wow.
Let's not forget who his center fielder is, okay?
Yeah.
Mike Trout, all
wow.
right? So that kind of got our attention a little bit. And, you know, that was a nice little nugget on the podcast,
yeah.
Carve out and put on Twitter for everybody.
That'll get you some clicks, some tweets, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it'll get a few.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, how many guys can come up and hit a 500-foot homer capable of 30 and 100 – Mm-hmm. if they play every day, and then one of the hardest throwers in the league, he has three plus pitches. I mean, if the guy's healthy, yeah, he is coming off Tommy John. I get that. Came back last year, struggled, couldn't throw strikes. That's the thing. You get behind a big league hitter, it doesn't matter how hard you throw, how good your stuff is. If they're 2-0, 3-0, and the guy knows the heater's coming, it can be 115 miles an hour, and somebody's going to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big leagues.
Yep.
All right, so.
Yep.
The thing with him coming off Tommy John is control. Now today, two walks, five punch outs. He struck out all his outs. The stuff was there. I thought the breaking ball spun a little bit, kind of stayed in the zone. That's where he got hit. But the fastball, the velocity was there. The split, like we just talked about, was as nasty as you're going to see a split ever be, ever.
Yeah.
I've never seen a ball move like that at that velocity. If he's able to locate his fastball, that's number one, and get ahead. Now that you can let the nasty stuff work and guys are going to chase.
But where, you know, and I remember you talk about what Upton said about the prolific power, the hose. We had Mike Socha on when he first signed, when obviously Socha was the skipper and Ohtani was getting ready to play his first year. And I didn't know what kind of an athlete he was. Like, I want to know, is he a 6'7", 60? Is he a 7'1"? I had no idea if he could move at all. In the 60-yard
right.
And Socha told us, and Tiki loved the analogy, basically said he's like a wide receiver when he gets moving. Now, because he's big and long-limbed, it takes him a little bit to get out of the box.
Right.
But, like, going first to third or second to home, he's flying. And so I guess, Will, my question, if, and I hope he can do both, but if the determination eventually is made that he cannot do both, do you see more production as a hitter, as an everyday position player, or as a potential ace pitcher?
That's tough. Well, I think if it comes down to what the Angels need, hopefully he's an ace pitcher because
yeah.
they have the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Arguably is going to go down as arguably one of the best players of all time, in my opinion, in Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
You have an offense with Justin Upton, Albert Pujols, he's in his last year, Anthony Rendon. I mean, you have all these bangers, these guys that can mash, and the offense has such a high ceiling, yet they can't get to the postseason in a relatively weak division with Texas and the A's in Houston have been pretty good. The Houston's a little down, but they're still going to be good. But with that offense, you should be able to get to the postseason, but they just can't. Dylan Bundy's their best pitcher last year. Now, he had a really good year, but you need to go out and get some arms, pay for some arms. And you just got to get off your wallet.
Yeah. But they're trying, Will. I mean, they offered Bauer money. They got Rendon. They're spending money. It's not like they're counting their nickels there, but they just can't convince pitchers to go there. And I'm with you, by the way. It's obviously an opinion. But Mike Trout is on an arc to go down as one of the top 10 players of all time. you know, to squeeze into the top five, you're talking about guys like Willie Mays and Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron. I mean, I'm not saying he can't get there, but as a top 10 player, he's on that trajectory. He might even already be there if he can, you know, one or two more years. And to not see him play consistent playoff games is very disappointing. So I wanted to get the Ohtani stuff, but I want to bounce around. I want to throw a few things at you. Talking to Will Middlebrooks from CBS Sports HQ. He's an analyst, and follow him on Twitter, World Series champ 2013 Red Sox. Now, we had Trevor Bauer in studio, and I loved talking to him. It was very interesting. He's an interesting guy. The last 6 months or so, I'm not going to say I don't like Trevor. That's ridiculous. I would never say that even if I didn't. Well, I mean, I might, but it's not that I don't like him. He's beginning to rub me the wrong way, though, and he's just a little too active on social media. For me, my question is, yeah, there's no doubt he's got sick stuff, and I know he's into the spin rate, and I know he is a top-of-the-rotation guy, but, and I know you know this, a lot of the teams, he pitched against the Pirates a lot last year. He had a great season. He won the Cy Young, but he pitched against a lot of bad teams in a condensed season. Is Trevor Bauer as great as everybody thinks that he is? I don't know. I think he is, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, the longevity of this peak, we've yet to see. I mean, he's had the last couple, 2-3 years, he's gotten consistently better and better. If you look at the analytics and the metrics and the spin rate and all that, it's all trending up. So he clearly knows what he needs to work on and has been improving on every year. He did play in a weak division. But he also pitched in one of the best hitting parks in the Great American Ballpark. When we played there, we called it the Great American Small Park.
That's
what
true.
We called it, because the balls just absolutely fly out of there.
Oh, man.
But all of his metrics have trended up. And that's where everything's going when they're dishing out money now, is they no longer pay you for what you've done. Mm-hmm. They pay you for what you project to do. And I know we're going to touch on Tatis soon, but that's a great example of what you project is why we're going to pay you. You're 22 years old. You've yet to play 145 games in the big leagues, but we're going to give you $340 million because you project well. The numbers, the analytics, the metrics, all that grades you out to be one of the best players in the league.
I have no problem with that, by the way. When the Padres announced that deal, I loved it. I mean, first of all, you look at some of the other deals, you know, whether it's Cole getting, and I love Gerrit Cole, but, you know, he's a lot older, different position, clearly. But even Bryce Harper, who is a terrific player, but I think it's fair to say not quite what we thought he would be when he was on the cover of SI at the age of 16 as the next Mickey Mantle phenom. He's a little short of that. He got what, 13 years from Philly? Tatis is a kid in the middle of the diamond with undeniable energy, electricity, power, speed, arm, charisma. He'll sell tickets. His dad played, so you know he respects the game. The lineage is there. I thought that was, much like I thought the Braves were smart doing what they did with Acuna, I have no problem. I think it's smart. I don't want to pay you for what you did 3 years ago. I love this new model of business. I think this is good for baseball.
I couldn't agree with you more. A lot of people are hating it because of the amount of money, but the amount of money he's going to bring to that team and that organization, he's going to, if you had not paid him now and you let him to continue what he was doing over the next 2 years, he'd be worth $400 million.
Correct.
So it was smart of them to go ahead and lock him up. Mm-hmm. But look, here's the deal. He has, like I said, he hasn't even played a full season yet. He's 143 games he's played. Yet he's in a discussion for the face of the game. Now, why is that? He's got the hair. He's got the sweatbands. He's got the swag. It's all impersonable. You can copy it as a kid, and that's what the game needs right now. It needs marketability. It needs Mike Trout is, like we said, the best player in the game, but he's not marketable. He doesn't want to be marketable. He doesn't care to be the best player in the game. He doesn't care to be the face of the game. He just wants to clock in every day, go to work, play well, help his team win, and that's it. Off the field stuff doesn't matter to him because that's just not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Tatis is. That's who Bauer is. That's who Judge is. These are the guys that are going to be the face of the game, and I love seeing them get paid.
You know what's funny? I got to tell you a quick aside. So my little guy just turned 6. He played T-ball at the age of 4 with some older kids. This is pre-pandemic. Last year there was no league. I play with him all the time. He's got a little talent. You know, we'll see where it takes us. He's obviously a kid. He's so young. And he's playing with the first graders this year on a travel team, and we just ordered his uniform yesterday. And, you know, we play all the time, right? We hit off the tee. I pitch to him. We're doing drills. We're playing ball, right? And it's funny, hit me the other day. He puts highlights on YouTube, right? He does it with the NBA, does it with the Jets in the NFL, and he loves Yankee, and he loves Yankee highlights, right? And he was doing it the other day, watching the highlights, and everything was like him pulling his shirt and pointing to the sky and like running around our house, like hitting the walls, like pretending they were teammates, giving him high fives after he went yard. And I was thinking, and I'm an old school baseball guy, and I'm saying, man, do I reel that in a little bit? Because I don't want to see you do that when you get a single. You know, is that the right way to play the game? And then I said, to hell with that. If that's what he loves, if that's what draws him to baseball early, who am I? To stifle that?
That's passion, man. Yes. That's what the game is lacking lately.
Yes.
Especially from the fan base is passion. And I think, I mean, not to get too deep on it, but like the younger generation has so many other things now to get their attention on their phones and iPads and whatever they can do. That you don't just sit, you don't go play ball on the street anymore like we did growing up. Yep. You don't do that anymore. So I think that's affecting the game, number one. And then, yeah, there's a marketing issue with MLB. We've seen that. And I think it is trending up with this generation of player, bat flip season, pitchers starting to celebrate, mm-hmm. And players not getting butthurt about it because people are celebrating because players are starting to realize, hey, fans like that. That's going to grow the game. The more people that watch us play and enjoy us playing, the more money we make. So let's have fun with it.
Correct. We're talking to Will Middlebrooks, world champion 2013 Red Sox, and part of the CBS team, CBS Sports HQ. He's with me here on Tiki and Tierney. So Lindor, when you trade for Lindor, you obviously trade for him knowing that eventually you're going to cut that big check. And because the Wilpons no longer own the Mets and Stevie Cohen does, that check will eventually be cut, I would imagine. The Mets, to me, I know they, I don't want to use the word whiffed, but they missed on Springer. He was right there. They missed on Bauer, right there. But, you know, the Mets for the first time ever, really going back to the 80s with Doc Gooden, but that was more organic. For the first time in my life, the Mets have money comparable to the Yankees, which elevates the game of baseball in this city. Perceptually, I think unlike it's ever, maybe since the 50s when you had the Dodgers there too. I mean, it's crazy what could happen with the Yankees and the Mets, Will.
Yeah, could you imagine a New York World Series?
Bring it on. Let's go.
Wouldn't that be awesome for the game?
Yeah, and you know what, Will? I'll tell you what. We'll beat them again just like we beat them in 2000 in the Subway Series. Come on in, Mets. We'll beat you again.
That would be good TV right there. Yeah. I'm telling you. That'd be good stuff. But what Stevie Cohen's doing, and it's more than just bringing money. It's a culture change, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have buddies that have played there in the past, and I've asked them, is the stigma like the Mets are going to met? Like, do you think about that? And then they say, you know what? It's not that we talk about it, but I guess it's always in the back of our head that something's going to go wrong. Because that seems to be the case for years, is they play well and just fall short. You know, that seems to be what happens. And then they're starting to get some talent rolling in. They've got a new owner. Now they're getting players. They have another one of the faces of the game in Francisco Lindor. They have a good offense. We know what their rotation is. If Thor comes back in June and he's ready to go, he seems like he's ready to go now, but yeah, they're going to have to hold off on him, mm-hmm, a little bit. But that rotation's going to be really good. I think Stroman has a good year. He's fresh coming off of – he didn't play last year.
Yeah.
It's all health. And that bullpen, who's been their kryptonite the past 3 years, they have talent oozing out of that bullpen of guys throwing 100, guys with movement. Aaron Loop, a good sign this offseason, a lefty who can come in and get lefties out and righty, has reverse splits. They have everything they need. Trevor May was a good sign too.
Very good.
From the Twins,
yeah.
They have everything they need. Did they miss out on a center fielder? They did, but unfortunately you can't have it all, and that's just unrealistic to think that.
Yeah.
They tried to do it. They tried to get them. I mean, in the past, can we even say that they tried to go get guys?
Not like this.
I mean, that's they have a team to make a splash, and they're my pick to win the NL East.
And that's a really good division. Braves are loaded. Freeman's a great player. Acuna, they've got they've got a lot of good players. That's just a good division. So, Will, final thing, not a ton of time here. It's Will Middlebrooks from CBS Sports HQ, former champion, always a champion, Red Sox, 2013. St. Louis, to go from New York to St. Louis, is just one of it actually might be the best baseball city. Now, obviously, I'm from New York, and I'll always say, but I mean, I've got to be fair. St. Louis is taking a backseat to nobody. For Nolan, and not to say Colorado's not a good vibe, and I'm not saying it's a great sports city, but to get Nolan Arenado to St. Louis and the new Bush, what a backdrop for him to flex and as he enters his prime. That's a terrific relationship, I think.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's the thing with Nolan Arenado and who he is as a player. Offensively, obviously we know how good he is defensively too.
Yeah.
He can go to any team and fit in and make them better because that's the player he is. But yes, that is the, like you said, it's the perfect backdrop for a player like that. I think he is going to elevate his game even more because there's going to be more emphasis on winning, which mm-hmm. there wasn't in Colorado, clearly. Mm-hmm. And it's a weakened division. You look at the Cubs who won
they stripped
last
down.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cubs won the division last year, and then they didn't go out and sign anyone. They didn't do anything to get better. And basically, in my mind, had a chance to win the division again. And they really disappointed me this offseason. But now the Cardinals are going to be in the mix. And now the Cardinals are my pick to win that division now, especially with Arenado. I think he puts up MVP-type numbers.
I don't disagree. Let's leave it there. Just wanted to get you on the show. A little spring training, you know, big topic primer. Will Middlebrook, CBS Sports HQ analyst, World Series champ with the Red Sox. Check him on Twitter. He's a good follow. Will, good wrapping. We'll get you back on pretty soon, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Absolutely. Yeah, if you're a baseball fan, I mean, if you're a devout baseball fan, you know this. If you're a semi-big baseball fan and might not travel to other markets, once everybody's cool traveling and getting into full stadiums, go to St. Louis. Go and watch a game at the new Bush. I was actually at the old Bush. I saw an inside-the-park grand slam at the old Bush. Crazy as that sounds. Third hour coming up, Tiki and Tierney.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.